Hello, everybody, and welcome to DeanNewman.org. Today is a very special edition. I want to thank you for joining us. This one's all audio. We're just going to do a podcast today, and I think you're going to enjoy it. In fact, you're probably, well, certainly, going to want to download it and share it with friends. As a matter of fact, if you want to share it on your social media, feel free to do so. It's going to be different because today we have just a catch-all of a title for today's audio broadcast. It's called Potpourri. And all of you ladies especially know what potpourri is. It's something that smells good when you put it all together. And today we're going to concentrate kind of with the shotgun, which is, that's kind of an oxymoron. Normally when you shoot a shotgun, there are little BBs in the bullets that shoot all over the place. We're going to kind of do that, but it's all going to be focused on five specific areas that all Americans, especially conservatives, in the environment that we're in now, need to concentrate on and think about. And so I want to get underway. We're going to spend about 3 minutes on each one of these, so we won't keep you a long time. If you stay with us the whole time and I don't get long, we'll probably be about 15 minutes in this. We're going to open it up with something that is top of mind every day in this political climate in the United States. Russia, Russia, Russia. And boy, is it top of mind every day. Let's start with Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller, you may remember, got the job the day after he sat on the sofa in the Oval Office applying for the FBI director job from President Donald Trump, right after he terminated, President Trump did, James Comey. The next day, mysteriously, Rod Rosenstein, who is a deputy attorney general and got the lead role when Attorney General Jeff Sessions surprisingly recused himself from any Russia investigation details. Rosenstein, longtime associate, close friend of Robert Mueller, appoints Mueller as the special counsel. And since then, it's been pretty much nothing but political speculation on every act that seems to be leaked or discussed or guessed at by Special Counsel Robert Mueller. To his credit, it seems that he does not do the James Comey style of leaking things selectively to the press, or maybe all of the stuff that has come out is a roundabout leak by others that are working with Mueller in that investigation. He, of course, brought in a bunch of Democrats, a bunch of people that have been longtime Democrat supporters, Democratic National Committee supporters, Hillary Clinton supporters, and contributors. That was kind of odd when that was revealed, but it is what it is. Mueller, of course, making the latest news by not personally on his watch, but apparently turning over enough information to the federal attorney for the Southern District of New York for them to make that mysterious raid on the office and the temporary apartment slash hotel housing, and of course the permanent home for President Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen. And boy, that is so controversial. We have no idea what that's all about. But they made sure everybody in America and around the world knew that a raid happened. And of course, when raids are conducted by the FBI, we all know there's got to be something bad going on. Michael Cohen, longtime personal attorney for President Trump for many, many years prior to any political life for Trump. He handled all of his business and personal legal operations. He has been cooperative in this raid and the specific things that they were after in his office. We don't know what they were, and we may not know for a while, but that's not Robert Mueller. You got to remember, he had turned over enough information to that federal attorney's office that they presented it to a federal judge who thought there was enough there to justify issuing a warrant for that early morning raid. That seems to be the modus operandi of this Mueller team, this Mueller investigation team. Remember, they did the same thing in the wee hours of the morning to Paul Manafort, former close confidant politically of the president. So Robert Mueller, who knows what's going to happen there? All the speculation on and on and on and over and over and over again that the president is going to fire him. They've made it very clear at the White House the president does have constitutional authority to take such action. But the president continues to say he's not going to do it. There's nothing there to implicate him, and so he's going to let the course run its course. And we're all anxious to see that happen. Let's talk about the FBI for a second. Boy, has it turned into a weaponized division of the U.S. government. Who knows what's going on in the FBI, formerly known around the world as the foremost intelligence agency on Earth. And it has been exposed for being politically motivated in everything regarding Donald Trump activities since the election of this president. Peter Strzok and his girlfriend there have been exposed for their partiality. Rod Rosenstein previously worked in some situations that were very, very marginally unethical. His own wife has represented Democrats, high-level, very public figures in the world of politics previously. He should have recused himself from anything to do with the Russia investigation of the Trump campaign regarding potential collusion in the 2016 election. But Rosenstein has steadfastly said, I'm going to stick in there. And so the book is still out on all three of these, the FBI, Robert Mueller, and the raid on Michael Cohen's office. And so don't believe everything you hear on the Clinton News Network, folks. MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, New York Times, Washington Post, and even Fox News. Just because someone says it, someone writes it, doesn't make it true. So let's skip forward to number two. We want to talk briefly about foreign policy as it stands today. If you'll remember, in the run-up to the election, all those on the left thought that if Trump won, it would be a debacle. The world would look at the United States as being a joke and its leadership being absolutely inept and unable to conduct foreign policy to deal with nations around the world. Subsequently to the inauguration of this president, the world and all those in Capitol Hill and throughout the United States have found out this guy's pretty good at getting along with people. He's a great negotiator. Man, is he ever. I'll never forget it. Pajama Boy, as I call him, Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea. Everybody thought when he went toe-to-toe with Donald Trump and the PR ploys, as each squared off against the other verbally, that Trump was going to light the nuclear missile fuse in North Korea and that Pajama Boy was going to be lobbing missiles at the U.S. West Coast. Not only has that not happened, over and over again, the president made it clear to North Korea and the world that if you mess with anything nuclear, the United States is not going to stand for it. Over and over again, Trump made it clear, you do something, there's a price to pay, and it won't be good for North Korea. And very suddenly, mysteriously, Kim Jong-un decided that he was going to meet with the president, and he put everything on the table for negotiations, including nuclear demilitarization on the Korean Peninsula, including his own country. That's all out there. It's to be determined as meetings are expected to happen, maybe in May of 2018, maybe in June. But as of now, they're still going to happen. Elsewhere in the world, President Trump made an unbelievable trip to the Middle East and met with I don't know how many foreign leaders, Middle Eastern leaders, most of them from Muslim nations. He was widely accepted by all of those leaders. He, of course, in Saudi Arabia was given the royal treatment, and he was nothing but professional, nothing but presidential. He shocked the world, including this guy. I could not believe that he would pull it off like he did, but there was a lot of respect that was given back to the United States that had been lost for 8 years under the guidance of President Obama. I think it has to do with some consistency, some integrity that foreign leaders, especially those in the Middle East, had not seen from the previous president. So that brings us down to the two hot spots right now. Actually, one hot spot with two players, maybe three players. Of course, I'm talking about Syria. ISIS is pretty much gone, but Bashar Assad, the president of Syria, has continued his rogue ways, and he's slaughtering his own people. Once again, another reported chemical strike that killed quite a few Syrians, a bunch of kids. And as before, this president has promised he's not going to allow that to continue. But there's another bully on the block besides Assad, This time, Putin stepped in. He's a little bully, but he is still a bully, and he's got a lot of arrows in his quiver as the president of Russia. They are there, and in the posturing regarding retribution for Syrian gassing of Syrian citizens and threats made that the United States and some European partners of the United States are not going to allow it to happen again, Putin has made some statements that if the United States takes any military action, there will be quid pro quo from the former Soviet Union. Nobody knows what that means. Of course, President Trump fired back and said, missiles in the air, when they show up, they're going to be fast, they're going to be new, and they're going to be there. So nothing has happened yet there, but once again, schoolyard bully that has had his way pretty much on the public stage for a while, that's Vladimir Putin, has been called out by the U.S. president. Quickly, Southeast Asia, lots of good things going on there in foreign policy between those countries and the United States, and nothing bad. Japan, South Korea, the Philippines, all the way down to Australia, which is not in Southeast Asia, but it's still a very important player on the world stage. All the leaders of all of those nations have new respect for the inhabitant of the White House in Washington, D.C., because it's Donald Trump. On to number three. Let's talk about immigration, forever on the minds of most Americans. And at the top of mind today is still DACA. And nothing has been done to let those people that came here as a result only of their parents making a decision to bring them here, most of them long ago, they're stuck here, no citizenship, no legality. They're trying to figure out what to do. Under current immigration law, their only alternative to get legal is to leave the country, apply to come back legally, and when approved, and most often that takes several years, would they be able to come back? President Trump has floated the idea that he would give almost 2 million of these illegals that are here under DACA a path to citizenship and temporary legal status under certain conditions. The primary conditions of his offer to the Democrats was full funding of the border wall to build permanent protection between Mexico and the United States. And even though Chuckie Schumer and Nancy Pelosi had previously said they were for that and would allow that to happen, the other little parts of the president's demands they summarily turned down, which has killed any DACA deal for all of those people that are here looking for a way to get legal. That's still in limbo. But the elephant in the room regarding immigration is, why the heck won't Congress take on comprehensive immigration reform, do regular order, which is taking individual parts of an issue, sending those to committees for the committees to develop plans? They come out of committee with a unified agreement from that committee as to what plan should be implemented. It's all put in a bill regarding that one issue and goes to the floor for debate, amendments, and an up and down vote. Still, this Congress refuses to go the distance with comprehensive immigration to fix this problem forever. It just plays into the swamp, folks. It's not Republicans. It's not Democrats. Listen closely to what I'm about to tell you. This doesn't have to do with just immigration. This has to do with Washington, D.C. The swamp is no longer about the Republican Party versus the Democrat Party. It's about liberals, leftists, slash the Democrat Party versus Donald Trump and Trump supporters. Trump supporters in Washington and Trump supporters throughout the heartland of America. And until Congress figures that out and they assume the responsibility of working for us, the American people, there will not be any comprehensive immigration reform. I promise you, Americans are demanding it. And until they listen to Americans, nothing's going to happen. Number four, the U.S. economy. Wow, this one's a positive one to talk about right now. Jobs, jobs, jobs. 2 million at least. Brand new jobs since this president took office. And when I say brand new, these are not upping part-time jobs to permanent jobs. These are not part-time jobs being created. These are good jobs. And a lot of it comes from companies because of regulations being reduced, having more income to put back in their infrastructure, expanding and needing new people, going out and finding people that have been in unemployment lines for months and months and months, and now having new opportunities for those people. Think about what that's doing for their, if you've ever been out of work, you know how horrible it is. You just feel bad about yourself. Your family doesn't know what they're going to do, how they're going to survive. All that kind of stuff goes away when a family leader gets a job. 2 million of them have jobs today that didn't when President Trump took office. Unemployment, lowest since 1970s. The stock market, oh my goodness, it's gone through the roof. And yeah, there have been some hiccups on some bad fake news stories out there, and also people screaming and hollering about a trade war. Let's talk about that for just a second, the trade war. President Trump wants to equal the game in foreign trade. What's wrong with that? If we send our goods and products overseas to another country, and when our products are put on the shelf to sell, those countries add a tariff to it, which makes it more expensive, which means those residents over there, if they have an alternative to buy a locally produced product and pay less, or even a product in that same line from another country that is priced cheaper than the U.S. product, they're going to spend the least amount of money. When in history, that same country that sends their products to the United States for our market, and we don't mark them up, we don't charge any kind of tariff or tax for their exporting their products to sell here. We just let them sell it. And I'm talking about heavy equipment, like heavy trucks, cranes, automobiles, trucks, locomotives, you name it. Anything we import, we virtually do not stick tariffs on them to raise the prices. All the president has wanted is equal treatment in immigration, in import-export. United States products, if you're going to slap tariffs on them when we send them to you, we're going to start slapping tariffs on the ones that you send over here. And when this began as just a conversation, people went crazy. Oh my God, you're going to kill the nation. People are going to get fired. Companies are going to close down. You know what happened? These countries overseas started saying, hey, we get it. We'll work with you. You don't put tariffs on our stuff there, we'll stop putting tariffs on your stuff here. The big offender, China. And a couple of weeks ago, President Trump stiffed it up, told the Chinese leader through the media, we've had enough. The deficit between our two countries is far too high because of the tariffs. So we're going to slap tariffs on all these Chinese goods coming in over here. President of China immediately responded and said, you do that, we're going to do the same thing. But guess what? Through the weekend, very quietly, the president of China said, we're going to stop putting tariffs on U.S. automobiles that come into our country. Call it bullying? That may be what it is. Ask Kim Un-yun about bullying. When you got somebody that bullies, and the bullies got behind him, not just what he's talking about, but he's got some way to really follow through if necessary, usually the bully gets his way. And these things, you can call President Trump a bully. Well, he's got the ability to back it up. They believe it. And he's followed through as they have too. Let's close this whole thing out with a discussion about the Department of Justice. Probably what's going on in D.C. that has affected me in a negative way the most, it's this. I had a lot of respect for Jeff Sessions when he was nominated and confirmed to be the Attorney General of the United States. primarily because he's a good guy. He talks clearly. He's been around for a long time. He knows how Washington works, and he seems to be a straight shooter. But he's disappeared when it comes to all of the injustice going on that, under normal circumstances, the Justice Department takes on. Things like getting to the bottom of the Hillary Clinton email debacle, the Clinton Foundation and misuse of funds, the Uranium One project, where most of the United States uranium production ends up being owned by a Russian corporation that is controlled by Russian President Vladimir Putin. James Comey, his obvious lying to Congress under oath, lying elsewhere, saying things that weren't true, mishandling of classified information. Nothing's happened, no investigation apparently into James Comey, who is about to start his book tour, and he has already started attacking President Trump. Nobody has called this bully down from his lies, and Jeff Sessions, as Attorney General, is the one that should do it and could do it, but he's done nothing. Downstream from the Attorney General, throughout the FBI, there's still a bunch of folks there. Peter Strzok and his girlfriend, I can't even think of her name, they still have the highest classified rating regarding classified information and the handling of it in the FBI. Yet, members of Congress, the intelligence and the justice committees, judicial committees, that were each elected by the United States citizens, voters, to serve in their capacity, they do not even have the same ability to look at the same information as these two who have been caught colluding. Yes, they've been caught colluding to try to affect the presidency of the United States, assisting in the manufacturing of fake, false information that might result in this president facing some type of legal action and also possibly impeachment proceedings. Yet they still have the same rights that they always had in spite of being caught with their pants down, figuratively speaking. Well, that's going to do it for today's edition of dnewman.org. I hope you enjoyed this audio conversation we've had. We just kind of went over a lot of the current issues of the day and looked at them. Don't get discouraged. Believe me, folks, this president hasn't quit. He's not going to quit. There's no quit in him. Doesn't matter how hard and how diligently the swamp folks in D.C. attack this president, he's in it for the long haul. We need to hold him up in prayer. We need to be very vigilant at watching and finding the truth. If you want to make sure you don't miss a story or a podcast that's posted almost on a daily basis, go to the front page of the website, bottom right side, enroll your email address, and you'll get a link every time a new post comes up. You click on the link and it goes straight to it. You get no advertising. We don't sell anything on the site. We don't share your information with anybody. That's a promise from me. You won't miss anything here. Feel free to download any, including this podcast, information, story, or audio broadcast on our website. Share it how you'd like. We're glad you're listening in. We're glad you're reading. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, have a great day. So long, everybody.